Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 15, where we see that there is a sacredness and a preciousness to the body of Christ and to the gathering of the saints. Through today's message, we see that we need to guard ourselves against bitterness and allow God to use healthy fellowship in our lives. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews 12, verse 15, with a message entitled, Mind Your Me, I Know.
Good morning, everybody. It is so good to be with you. Go ahead and wave to your neighbor, do whatever you're comfortable with. You can maybe bump elbows, I don't know. What a weird season of life we are in. I'm just so thankful that we're back together. It's been way too long. We've been so eager to see you and to have you come back into this place and fill it up. I know it's not everybody in the room, but we're doing the best that we can, and it's just so wonderful. Good to see everybody, or for you to see me at least out on that lawn. I hope I look tall on that screen out there. Those of you at home, again, I know there's so many of you who are longing to be back, and because of health reasons or whatever it would be, you're not able to be back in the sanctuary yet or on the premises. We can't wait to see you too. It's going to be a wonderful family reunion when we're all back together. I don't think anyone knew, you know, it would be this long when we first shut our doors back in March. And, you know, I just dreamt of this day since then. I thought it was like far stretched to think maybe, you know, it would be through Easter that we wouldn't be together. I can't tell you how weird Good Friday was. I can't tell you how strange Easter Sunday was, but how you touched our hearts, those of you who are participated and drove through the parking lot, and those of you who didn't know, it was a last-minute thing. The enemy wants to constantly just rip people off and make them bitter. And ironically, the Lord has me speaking to you on bitterness this morning. We are in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, and we'll continue our journey through God's word. Where were we when we were last together? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13. It feels like I haven't made a lot of progress. But the Holy Spirit just sort of puts the brakes on, I believe, as he sees fit. And he gives us perfect words in season each week that we gather, because we magnify his name. And we magnify his word, and that's why we have the seating capacity the way we do and the age limits. This is tricky stuff. We're all rookies at it, and we're doing the best we can to glorify the Lord and to serve you. We love you. We're so thankful. Thank you to all of you. And forgive me if I'm tongue-tied a little this morning. It's like the first day of school today. Couldn't sleep last night, so excited just to see you and to be with you. But a big thanks to everybody who's worked so hard. We had people here at 4 a.m. today setting up things for you just to bless you and make it seamless for you when you would walk in these doors. So thank you to all the worship team. How amazing was it to have worship the way that you did, the way that we did through that whole catastrophe? Just so blessed our worship team for all these video guys. And, you know, maybe you're thinking, geez, they're in my way. How do you think they feel? You know, they don't like to be in your way either, you know. It's just so thankful for these guys, all those who served in children's ministry or the cafe ministry or other ministries. And because of this pandemic, they've had to adjust. And they said, you know what? Instead of just sitting and doing nothing, we want to do something. So thank you to all of you guys and gals, everyone in their blue t-shirts that are doing something, those out in the lawn handing out water, those in the parking lot. As you've noticed, our cafe is closed. It will be closed for the summer. We have to be careful here, but we'll have food trucks for you, as Becca did such a wonderful job on that video announcement. That gave me the chills just watching her do that video. I think she did such a terrific job. Thank you to the security. Thank you to everybody. Welcome home. Welcome home. Great to be together. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, the writer here speaking to the church, speaking to believers. Open your Bibles if you have one, please. You'll be bored if you don't. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. If you didn't bring one with you, go ahead and look at the screen behind me. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. That's difficult. That's a difficult one. Looking diligently, church, speaking to believers, lest, this is the first of three lests in this chunk of scriptures. We'll handle the third next week. We'll handle the first two this week. He says, here's a warning to you. You're running your race. I'm exhorting you not to fall off the course here, not to go to the left or to the right. I'm exhorting you, the writer would say, to look to Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the initiator. He's the perfecter. Keep your eyes fixed on him, looking to Jesus, surrounded by a crowd of witnesses that have ran the race victoriously before you. If they could do it, you could do it. You got even more arsenal than they had. You got the fullness of God's Spirit, New Testament Christian, and you got the completeness of God's Word. You don't need anything else. You got everything that you need, and you got the institution of the church. You really can't ask for more, he says. If they could do it, you could do it. All those examples in chapter 11 are there for your learning and for your edification. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. If you've gotten off the path the last 16, 17 weeks, the Lord was faithful to chastise you. The Lord will be faithful if you're still off the path to chastise you. Because he chastises, he corrects, he brings people back to the course of those who he loves. If he doesn't do it and he lets you go wild, well, then you're not his, you're illegitimate. These are the words, these are the encouragements that have preceded this warning. He said, lift up your hands that hang down. Maybe you've gone weary. Your hands are the first thing to go. Your arms are the first thing to drop when a runner becomes weary. He said, lift them back up. Strengthen those hands and them feeble knees. Get back to that course. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And as you do this, he said back in verse 14, he encouraged us with everything that we have to follow peace with all men and holiness. And the whole motivation for doing these things as we run our race is so that we can see the Lord and so that others that are around us can see the Lord. Okay, are you with me so far? As we run this race, it's not just about us. I mean, certainly we need to keep our eyes on Jesus because he's the one who's going to give us what we need to finish the course that's before us. We all have a specific course that he's designed according to his genius. Some of you need to hear that this morning. Some of you have sort of, you know, in the course of this pandemic, you sort of lost your identity. You are the king's son. You are the king's daughter. You are greatly loved by the king. You are not an accident. You are not a happen chance. You are fearfully and you are wonderfully designed by the designer, Jesus Christ. He's got a course that he's laid out for you, okay? Christ is your identity. And he's got a course that he's laid out according to his genius. And it's not just about you. It's about the world that surrounds you, that looks at you so that they might see Jesus. And as you are running that race, he says, there's things that you got to be careful of. In fact, he says, I want you to look diligently into these things. That's the word episkopos. It's the word that's used synonymous with the word that's used in the Greek for an elder or a bishop or an overseer. Who's he talking to? Pastors? No, he's speaking to Christians. He's saying to the bride of Christ, to these Jewish believers who are struggling in their faith, and he's saying to you and I today, because his word is everlasting, he's saying to us today that we have a responsibility as the body of Christ to oversee these topics in verse 15. Number one, that no man fails of the grace of God. And the reason for that, he says in verse 15, is lest, there's your second lest, or your second warning, lest any man, he says, have this root of bitterness springing up, and it troubles you. The word you is in italics because it's way more than just you that it troubles. And he'll explain that in the finish of this verse. And thereby many be defiled. Strong. That's a strong word. The word in the Greek is me, I know. Mind your me, I know this morning. That's the title of my message. Mind that. You know when your mother tells you mind your business? You remember that? As four kids growing up, my mother said that to us all the time. because we were always butting our noses into our siblings' business. You know, if we'd get in trouble, you know, we would say, well, what about Daniel or what about Joel or Josiah? And would she say, mind your business. Peter, don't worry about John. You know, she would use that Christianese with us. If you were raised in the church, your mother probably told you that too. In other words, like, I'll deal with John, Peter, the way that I deal with John, and I'll deal with you the way that I'll deal with you. And that's sort of here the idea. Mind your me, I know. That's the word in the Greek. It's interesting. Because just any way that you read it. Me, I know, right? Or even like this. Me, I know, right? Like, it don't matter how you read it, it's bad. And you need to mind it. That's the word defile in the Greek, interesting enough. It means to stain. It means to corrupt. It's a word that speaks of the temple in the Old Testament when you translate it by the Septuagint, and it speaks of something that is outside of the holiness of God. In other words, there's a sacredness to the gathering of the body of Christ. And if ever there was an understanding, at least in my lifetime of that, it's right now. If ever there was a preciousness illuminated to me by God the Spirit of the beauty of this illegitimate family, the body of Christ. If ever there was this eye-opening experience of how special it is when we gather together under one roof to sing praises to his name and to hear scriptures from his word, man, it's this season of life. Being separated for that, I don't think any of us would have ever believed it at the start of 2020 if we were to be told, you're going to miss, you know, 4 months of being together. And I don't know what your attitude was like before the pandemic began with your brothers and sisters that are filling the chairs and that are out on the lawn and that are streaming at home. But I think that if there were any attitude or disgruntledness, or to keep it in the context, your bitterness, saltiness, I think that the separation really made it as though nothing really mattered anymore, because there was just this longing in our hearts, if we love the Lord, to be together. I don't know if you agree, but I know that certainly my love has enhanced for the bride of Christ. Things that maybe would trouble me or bother me in the past, it's kind of like, whatever, right now. Now is not the time. I'm just so thankful to be back together with God's people, and I want to do everything I can to protect that. I want to do everything that I can to fuel that according to what's pleasing to the Lord. I don't want to defile that. God's Spirit speaks to us through his word this morning that you and you and you and everyone in this room and me and those on the lawn and those streaming, we all got an influence whether we like it or not. And we bring something with us to the table or to the course or to the track or to the family or to the church. And we could either be those who are edifying and building up and encouraging and strengthening, or we could be those who are poisoning. Because there's something going on in our hearts. You understand what I'm saying to you this morning? He ain't speaking to pastors. He's not speaking to elders specifically. He's speaking to Christians. He says, I want you all to be episcopos. I want you guys to be like a, it's the only other time it's used is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, when Peter talks about elders and bishops overseeing and shepherding the flock, it's the word oversight. I want you, Christians, to take an oversight with yourself and with the family of God that you're a part of. That there's not any man, because why? Because it could happen to any man. So no one gets to go like this right now. I'm not bitter. I'm not salty. I'm just thankful to be here. I'm in the house of the Lord. I'm feeling good. I don't know. This isn't really hitting me. Listen, he says it like this. This could happen to any man at any time. We all got to guard our hearts. He who thinks he stands, finish it if you know it. Take heed, lest he falls. Now you all know it. So let's say it together. He who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he falls. So nobody gets to take a step back and be like, well, I'm not bitter. I'm not that type of a person. I got a second chance at life. I had a heart attack years ago when I was a kid. My appendix burst, and I'm just thankful to be alive, and this isn't really speaking to me. No, here's the thing. We become ultra-sensitive when we become saved. Because something happens there in the mental realm where the enemy seeks to get in and he seeks to divide and cause division. And he illuminates things in the secular world, in the natural world, that would never phase us. But because it's a spiritual thing that we're a part of, you all know that we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the marvelous light, right? I know you've been stuck in the dirty, dark world out there, but you're back. And you all know that you're no longer slaves to sin, but you're children of God, right? He gave you a new life. Old things have passed away and all things became new. You know you're a new creature, right? He's changing you and he's changed you from the inside out. You're not who you used to be. You're not what you're once gonna be, but you're on your way. Your destiny is not just a place, it's an image, the image of the Son of God. He's making you more like him every day. So in the process, the devil wants to steal, kill, destroy, divide, conquer, and beat the snot out of the bride of Christ. He can't steal your salvation, but he can rob your joy. He can cause divisions and schisms that do what? That keep you from seeing the Lord and the world around you from seeing the Lord through you. You're in the way of the cross. Why? Because bitterness. He told me last week, listen, we got to follow peace with all men and holiness. No man will see the Lord apart from it. And then he goes like this. And in the process of all this, y'all got to become like shepherds, overseers. You got to be diligent in your business to make sure that there's no bitterness springing up. In who? In any of us. I love that he leaves it general in any man. Starting with myself, because I don't think I stand. I could fall at any moment. I could be preaching and you can be giving me a snarly face and the enemy wants me to magnify on that. Just magnify it. Magnify. I can't remember. You know, in that service, that guy, I don't really know his name, but he was just giving me the scowl. When all reality, that's just his look when he's listening and studying the word. And now I can't shake it. Now I see him out on the lawn and I'm looking at him like, why was he looking at me like that when I was preaching? And I know me and you are locking eyes and it's getting awkward. I don't mean it to happen. God bless you. Glad that you're here this morning. It just worked. I'm sorry about that. You're not offending me. I actually am thankful that you're here. But you know what I'm talking about? Something could sort of happen and trip us up, and it could stumble us, and it could mess us up. And any of us at any moment could begin to get bitter if we let something harbor in our hearts. But here's the problem. Bitterness isn't stagnant. It's living. It's like a root that springs up. You can't contain it. You can't suppress it. You can't, unless you give it to the Lord, the person that's caused you to be bitter has power over you. And it's destructive. You won't be able to run your race. You won't be able to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Your eyes are on the situation. Your eyes are on that person that stumbled you. Listen, it could be something from your childhood. You ever go to the nursing home or the hospital? It's something that prior to COVID I used to do all the time. You ever talk to somebody who's close to death in their 80s, 90s, and they got this, you know, their teeth are clenched, and when you bring up so-and-so's name, and there's such a salty feeling within them toward someone, a parent, a step-parent, a school teacher, a coach, whatever it would be, it goes back decades. And it's still there, and they can't even talk about it. It's like a root, it's like a tree with poisonous fruit that's destructive. And it troubles them, but it also defiles others. This is complex. I could take every phrase of this verse and preach. It's going to be hard for me to get through in one Sunday. Because you look at this thing, and the whole issue is this. The failing of the grace of God. It's not God's grace failing you. It's you failing in the grace of God in that this. Listen, you're coming short of the grace of God. You're behind the grace of God. What do you mean I'm behind the grace of God? Is the grace of God moving? Yes, it is. The grace of God is moving right past the mistake and hurt and pain that they caused, and you're lagging behind. So because of that, you're harboring bitterness. You with me? Because the English language is weak. It messes this verse up. It makes it sound like God's grace can fail you. Can God's grace fail you? No way. We go from grace to grace. J.B. Phillips helps us with this. He goes like this. He translates it like this. Be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace which God gives. That's better. Hear it again. Write it down. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Ready? Be careful that none of you fails to respond to the grace which God gives. It's a response on your end. It's a response on your end to the grace that is otherworldly that comes from God. If it weren't for the grace that comes from God, you would never be able to get over the divorce. You would never be able to get over how they never paid you back or what they physically did to you. Are you following me? But because you now have been emancipated and you've been taken by the Father of Lights and put on the course that, according to his genius, he's designed for you, you are no longer under the power of that person who's hurt you. Because through the grace of God, you've forgiven them. Does that mean you got to be the best friends with them? No. Does that mean you have to trust them? No. Does that mean you have to forget? Because the world says if you forgive, you got to forget. No, the Bible doesn't say that. You can't forget what's happened to you, nor do you have to. But you can forgive as Christ has forgiven you, and you can be emancipated from the power that they have over you because of the bondage of bitterness, and you can be under the power of Jesus Christ and be set free. You understand? But you have to respond. You have to respond to the grace of God. Listen, this isn't just some word I decided, oh, this will be a perfect message to bring God's people back into the house for. This is where we are this morning, and it's timely. Because what we do or don't do is going to impact our worship. It's going to impact our atmosphere. It's going to impact the enjoyment that God wants us to have. In other words, the grace of God is what allows you and I to fully enjoy the things of God and the life that God has for us when we walk in it. If we don't walk in it and we lag behind it because the grace of God is moving past people's mistakes and sins for healing purposes, if we lag behind and we harbor bitterness, it's like a root. It's like a tree that is alive. It's not stagnant. It doesn't just stay there and kind of hang out. It's not content with it. It wants to come up and it wants to choke you and it wants to overspill out of you onto the world that you have influence of around you, and it defiles them. This is heavy. I don't want to be that person. Everybody has a contribution to bring to church when they come to church. It's what makes the church the church. It's what makes the loveliness of the church lovely. Listen, me, the worship team, some of the leadership, we've been doing it for months. Y'all haven't been here. It's not the same. It was great and it was special. The Lord did some amazing things behind the closed doors. We had some crazy afterglows and before glows.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.